Welcome to our teaching today, where Christ's Word is the center of our world. We are about to listen to the undiluted Word of God from the throne of grace with Pastor Philip Ransom Bello.
Hallelujah. You know what I sense in my spirit? There's going to be an eruption of the Spirit of God. Some of you are going to get baptized with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. There'll be healings, there'll be testimonies, there'll be miracles. Hallelujah. Who receives what I'm saying? Who says amen to what I'm saying? Hallelujah. And some of you will feel overwhelming joy in your spirit. You know something within you has changed. There'll be an overwhelming sense of peace in your heart. You know when the Bible says the peace that passes all understanding, that's what the Holy Ghost is bringing to your heart. The Bible says the love of God does not disappoint because the love of God does not disappoint because this love has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. And that's what the Holy Spirit is doing today. God is bringing a sense of assurance in the hearts of many people today. Somebody say, I receive. Hallelujah. You know, all that you receive is what Christ has done. Everything Christ paid for is yours by right. Do you understand what I'm saying? Jesus died for every good thing. That's why the New Testament can boldly say all the promises of God in Christ Jesus, they are yes and they are amen. Hallelujah. So there is no promise that escapes you. Are you following what I'm saying? There is no promise. And when we share the benediction, we say goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. It is accompanying you everywhere you go. You experience the goodness of God. Goodness and mercy follows me all the days of my life. Can we say that together? Goodness and mercy follows me all the days of my life. You know, some of you are not saying it because for you it is closing time. That's what you say for closing. But you see, it's your everyday confession. Goodness and mercy follows you. Do you mean what you're saying? I want you to mean what you're saying. Say, goodness and mercy follows me all the days of my life. Hallelujah. You know, when you come into the house of God, you must never have a closed mouth. Your posture has to be right. Your mouth has to be open. And when your mouth is open, you are confessing. To confess is homologia in the Greek. Confession is homologia in the Greek. It means to say what Christ has said about you. So you are not the one who is saying it. You are saying what has been said. Are you following what I'm saying? You are repeating what has been said. And the question is, what was said about you? Good things were said about you. Great things were said about you in the Word of God. When you look at the Scripture, you see what mirrors you. Hallelujah. You don't know who you are just by looking at who you are. You know who you are by looking at who Christ is. Because all that Christ is all that you are. All that Christ is all that you are not. If Jesus is blessed, you are blessed. You don't determine your identity by your experience. You determine your identity by what the Word says. That's your mirror. You look at the Scripture and you know, just like the Bible says, that we are one with Him. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with the Lord. Say with me, say, I'm one spirit with the Lord. One of my favorite scriptures says, herein is the love of God made manifest for us. He is, so are we. Herein have we received boldness for the day of judgment. For as He is, so are we. Oh, if believers can understand this Christ reality, can understand who they are in Christ, they would know that life will not dictate to you who you are. Your feelings don't tell you who you are. Your emotions don't tell you who you are. You lead your emotions. You lead your mind. You lead the circumstances around you. Because life must follow the direction of your mouth. So you must be a talker as a believer. Your mouth cannot be quiet. You know, some of you just like to reply thoughts with thoughts. But it's not enough to reply thoughts with thoughts. Those thoughts are not just thoughts. Those thoughts are words, but spoken in your mind. Sometimes you think you are the one thinking it. It's not you thinking it. It's the devil whispering certain things to you. So the devil is speaking to you, but it's coming in a reflection of the mind. So you think it's your mind. But you must be able to reply those things. I mean, I can imagine Jesus in the wilderness when he was tempted of the devil. And you will hear him say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that is written or that is spoken of the Lord. And then the devil takes him again. But you see, the devil did not appear to Jesus and speak physically to Jesus. All of that was in the mind of Jesus. But he answered, he kept on speaking back. And that's what you must learn to do. As a believer, you are a talker. Do you understand what I'm saying? And you talk alone, even when you're nobody is there. But when you are feeling the most vulnerable experiences, whatever part of the day is or whatever part of the month is, and you are alone, you must learn to talk. You must learn to speak. Sometimes I'm driving, I scream in the car. Although when she's not there, amen. I scream in the car because I'm talking to my spirit. My spirit has to be in subjection to how I feel. I mean, my feelings have to be in subjection to my spirit. Somebody say amen. Amen. So all that Christ is all that you are. One more time, let's give the Lord a big hand of praise. Give the Lord a big hand of praise. Thank you. Hallelujah. All right, if you have your Bibles, I want you to open with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Can you help me with this one? Verse 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. Yes. Verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. I want us to read verse 3 together. 1, 2, go. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in the sight of our Lord and Father. Next verse. Knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. Now let's look at verse 5 for emphasis. 1, 2, go. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. As you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. Somebody say amen. Amen. The title of what I want to speak to you about today is The Move of the Spirit. The Move of the Spirit. Can you say with me, say the move of the Spirit. All right. First Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. Last Sunday, we talked about how to receive all that Christ has done for you. And the summary of that conversation is grace provides through what Jesus has done, and faith receives what grace has provided. So, better still, we can even say that the faith that receives what grace has provided is produced by the grace. So if you're going to frame that thought, you would say grace produces the faith that receives what grace has provided. Does that make sense to you? So that nobody stands on his own to muster faith, because you don't have, the faith you have is given to you. I want you to follow me very carefully. The faith you have is given to you. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That word of God, there is the message of the gospel. So when you hear the gospel, faith is produced in your heart. The scripture says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. So if the scripture says faith works by love, It means the strength of your faith is based on how much you know God loves you. Because God's love is the gospel. Okay, are you with me now? God's love is the gospel. And the hearing of the gospel is what produces faith. So the Bible says that it is faith that works through love. I think it's Galatians 5, 6 or 6, 7, one of them. Faith working through love. And it is simple. Knowing how much you are loved through the work of Jesus on the cross is the reason why you quickly have access to healing. Because you see yourself as loved. That is why one of the first attacks Satan would always give a believer is to feel that God doesn't love him. Whenever you start to think you are not loved by God, you are under spiritual attack. Spiritual attack is not only when you see witches and wizards in your dreams. Spiritual attack is also when you start to feel, in fact, mostly when you start to feel that God doesn't love you again. And the devil likes to use experiences to judge God's love. But you see, as a smart believer, as an intelligent believer, because we have spiritual intelligence, you must know that God's love is not predicated on the things that are happening. No. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, he says, "For God demonstrated his love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So the love of God has been demonstrated already. And if you are assured of God's love, it produces faith in your spirit. So show me a man, show me a woman who is strong in faith. I will show you a man or a woman who knows how much God loves her. Somebody say, God loves me. So you must never allow anything shift you from that ground. Okay? Now, so that was what we said last week. But today I'm going to show you something. It's not really a teaching, but it's an introduction to a teaching or series of teachings that by the grace of God, I will do in this house. Because I want to introduce something to this house. And what I'm introducing to this house is a dimension that will take you into certain experiences with God. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, 1 Corinthians 12 verse 1, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts," if you use the King James, use the King James. "Concerning spiritual gifts." If you look at the word gifts there, it might not be reflected on the screen here, but if you check your Bible, the word gift there is in italics, meaning that it was not necessarily in the original translation or in the original manuscript. But in this translation, the transcribers just add the word gifts there so it makes more sense to the readers. So it says, "Now concerning spiritual," that's what it's supposed to read. Because from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and all the way to 11, Paul was handling different matters in the church, in the Corinthian church. Matters like those who are taking Holy Communion and getting drunk, be careful. Those who have offended their neighbors, be careful. Forgive the one who has offended you. He spoke about governing authorities. He spoke about fornication in the church. Stop doing all of that. Know ye not your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God dwells within you. Paul was handling different matters in the church. But when he came to chapter 12, he now said, "Now, concerning spiritual matters, brethren, I would not have you, what? Ignorant." And that is very instructive, because it is possible to be ignorant of spiritual things. You may be born again, but you may not have adequate knowledge of spiritual things. So he says, "I do not want you to be ignorant of spiritual matters." All right, show me verse 7. Verse 7 says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit." So you see the word there, manifestation. It says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit." The word manifestation there is phanerosis, which is a declaration. It is an emptying. It is a revelation. It is a revealing. So it says the manifestation of the Spirit, all right, is given to every man to profit. I believe from the foundation of TSP, we have taken a whole lot of time to teach doctrine. And the doctrine is basically the gospel. There is no other foundation that can be laid other than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. If I call the average member of TSP, talk about the gospel, there are tons of scriptures that will come to your mind. Talk to me about forgiveness of sins. You have been well taught on that. There is another dimension that comes, because the gospel of Jesus Christ is not to come to you without experience. The gospel of Jesus Christ is supposed to come to you with a demonstration of the supernatural. So we are word people and we are Holy Ghost people. I don't know if you hear what I'm saying. We are people of the word and we are people of the Holy Ghost. You see? So now what I want to show you in the scriptures are things that will open up your mind to the move of the Spirit of God. You know, there are people who just tell me, they say, Pastor, I'm a word person. All I do, I just listen to the Word of God, you know, but I'm not really into the Holy Ghost dimensions, the move of the Spirit, the prophetic. Listen to me. There are many expressions of God, and it is meant for you to experience the expressions of God. Are you following what I'm saying now? You will see in the scripture where the Bible talks about how people were full of the Holy Ghost. I read to you a scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And in that verse, you see where Paul was telling the Thessalonian church that the word of God did not come to you in word only. The word of God came to you in power and in the Holy Ghost. And that power and Holy Ghost came with much assurance. Sometimes you need to go before the information part of the word to a part that brings a supernatural experience. Because people don't forget experiences. Am I talking today?
Yes,
are you still with me?
Yes,
nobody can tell Paul what he experienced was not true. He was on his way to Damascus. And the Bible says a great light from heaven shone on Paul. He fell on his feet. And when he got up, he says, "Who are you?" And Jesus spoke to Paul. He says, "Why are you persecuting me?" Paul was a man who, you know, when they say someone is a persecutor of the church, someone who hates the church, someone who hates anybody who says, "I'm a believer," or "I'm a follower of Jesus." In fact, he was on his way to go kill them. And Jesus himself appeared to Paul. Nobody, Paul could not refute that experience. That's why there are certain things that must happen to some people. When we preach the gospel of Jesus, it is not just information. The gospel of Jesus is not just knowledge. It comes with words, but it also comes in power. It has the ability to change and to, you know, to cause a revolution in people's lives. That's the gospel that we preach. I was listening to a man of God. I think it was 2 days ago. The reason why I was doing that is because I'm going for a program this afternoon somewhere in Kaduna. And the program has been a week-long program. And this man of God came all the way from India. And I was listening to his story. You can check him online. His name is Apostle Rambubu or something like that. Rambabu, that's his name. And this man is from a Hindu family. Now, you know, Indians, they're very antagonistic towards Christians, not just Indians, but certain, even the Chinese, you know. And in his days, in the early 80s, he would rise up as a teenager to persecute the church. Anybody who says, "I'm a Christian," this guy would take it as a personal ambition to rubbish the church. So one day he was passing, and then he saw the pastor who was saying, "What?" I don't remember the name of their God. That's the Indian, what they worship. But he says, "What that God cannot do, Jesus can do." The guy took it as a personal agenda. He said to himself, "I'm going to rubbish this pastor." He had a friend who is a Muslim. He told his friend, "Bring your sister who is deaf and dumb. We're going to that crusade tomorrow." It was even an Anglican church. This was probably 1982 or thereabout. And then he took the girl the next day to the church. And they got there. The pastor laid hands on the girl. And nothing happened. Apostle Rambubu started to shout. He disrupted the service. He said, "You are fake with your Jesus. You are deceiving people. You are just mocking our nation. We do not accept you." Members of the church had to, you know, corner him one side and tell him, "Just, can you please calm down? We understand your persuasions, but please not here. He went outside. He kept on shouting. And he said to himself, I will bring her again to. The pastor told them, he said, bring this girl back the next day. I will still pray for her. You know, sometimes when you pray and nothing happens, you pray again. There's nothing wrong with praying again. Even the Son of Man prayed again. Son of Man prayed for someone and someone's eyes, they got open, but he saw trees. That's Son of God. So you can learn and grow in the supernatural. Are you with me, somebody? Yeah. I mean, when Jesus was teaching his disciples how to cast out demons, right? The Bible says that they couldn't cast out demons. They came to meet Jesus. They said, we sent this person to your disciples. They couldn't cast out demons. And then he said, this type goeth not but by prayer and fasting. But you see, those people who made mistakes and could not cast out demons are the people we're learning from today in the Acts of the Apostles. Those same disciples who could not do it well became masters after Jesus left. So when you pray for the sick and it doesn't feel like anything happened, don't be discouraged. Don't feel like it's not working. Keep doing it. Pray again. So the pastor told Apostle Rabu, bring that girl again. They went back the next day. And the next day they brought the girl. He laid hands on the girl. And immediately he noticed the girl started whispering something. Deaf and dumb. You know deaf and dumb. Deaf can't hear. Dumb can't speak. So they are hearing for the first time and they are speaking for the first time. You don't expect them to speak any language fluently. So the pastor said, say after me. And he mentioned something. The girl repeated it. The apostle put his hand on his head. Not apostle at that time. He was not an apostle. He was a persecutor of the church. Put his hand on his head. He said, this is Jesus. He was struggling within himself. Then he got to his room. He could not sleep because he saw for the first time. You know, sometimes when God wants to confound people who think they are wise, all he does is just one sign. That's why he says, these signs will follow them that believe. In my name, they will what? Cast out demons. This guy went to his room. He couldn't sleep. Tossing here and there. And then he woke up in the morning and told himself, you know what, God? I will believe in this Jesus if I've read the Bible. I saw that you gave Noah a sign and that sign was a rainbow. But if you give me a sign, not of a rainbow, but instead of a double rainbow, let the sign be that a rainbow appears and another rainbow crosses the rainbow. What kind of wicked sign is that? You know, there are people who just say, God, if you are God, show me a sign. You know, there are people who are still on that level. But you see, God deals with us according to our faith. And God knew that he was going to raise up someone like Paul the Apostle in that time. So he kept on dealing with the guy. He got out of the house and he was walking. And do you know what? He actually saw a rainbow that was crossed. He knelt down immediately. He cried like a baby. And he said, I will follow you, Jesus. That was the beginning of a revival in India. This was in the early 80s. And his family, because he's from a family of millionaires, right? His parents are millionaires, big people. The father called him and said, we're excommunicating you if you don't denounce Jesus. He said, you know what? In fact, he was confident signing the paper, keep your inheritance, I will follow my Jesus. You know, when you have seen something, it is not just the gospel coming to you in words. Paul said that the gospel we preach to you did not come only in words, but it came in the demonstration of the power of God. There are some people who will never believe when you talk grammar. All they need to see is the move of the power of God. That's why Jesus told the disciples, he says, tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And then you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Samaria, in Judea, and in all the other parts of the earth. There are some of your siblings who don't believe. All they need is a notable miracle. That's why we pray. We say, Lord, stretch your mighty hands and wrought miracles in our midst that the unbelieving heart will believe. The essence of miracles is that the Lord will confound or confirm his words with signs and wonders. Miracles are to confirm the gospel. That's why they are given. So We must embrace these expressions of God. All right? We must embrace the move of the Spirit. We must embrace the supernatural, the prophetic, all this classification. I'm a word guy. You know, there are people who have different extremes. Some of them say, I'm the experienced God kind of person, but they will never sit down to hear the word. People like prophecy. People are going about looking for prophecy. You know, sometimes you go from house to house. When I mean house to house, I mean church to church. You go from place to place looking for a prophetic word. But the word of God, who you are in Christ, you have no clue about it. No, God wants you to be balanced. Talk to me, somebody. God wants you to have a good understanding of the both. Two streams. The stream of understanding the word and the demonstration of the power of God. Somebody say amen. You know, that's what happened to Jesus. Jesus came to an unbelieving generation. And the only thing that will pull the people to Jesus is the manifestation of certain miracles. When those miracles began to happen in the time of Jesus, people had no choice but to believe. That's the reason why when the disciples of John came to meet Jesus, they said, "Are you still the one?" And what did Jesus say to the disciples of John? He said, "Go tell John that the blind can see, the lame can walk." Listen to me. The gospel you preach should not be without proof. That's why John says, that which our eyes have seen, that which our ears have heard, which our hands have handled of the very word of life. It means that God is an experienced God. Come on, amen. God is an experienced God. God is not just one who does, you know, things in a very ambiguous way or in a way that doesn't show, communicate his experience. God wants to be in touch with you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The Bible did not say, for God so loved the world that he tweeted Jesus. I'll give you 2 seconds to catch it. For God so loved the world that he Instagrammed Christ from heaven. But God so loved the world that Jesus came. Jesus came because God is an experienced God. So Jesus came as the expression of God. People could touch God in the flesh. People could touch Jesus, who was God. Peter said, "Show us the Father." And then Jesus said to Peter, "How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you know that if you've seen me, you have seen the Father?" And we needed a Savior who would not be up in heaven. You know, I thought about it. Could salvation have been a situation where the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world, and there is no need for Jesus to come into the world? If the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world, and we need the slain Lamb, the slain Lamb for salvation. So why did he come? He came so that we can experience him. Knowing that we have a high priest who is touched by the infirmities, the feelings in our hearts. We have a high priest who knows what you're going through. We don't have a high priest who cannot cry. Our Jesus cried. Oh, you don't hear what I'm saying. Our Jesus wept. I looked at John chapter 11 and I asked myself, why did Jesus weep? Jesus had the solution. He knew he was going to say, "Lazarus, come forth." He knew Lazarus was going to come back to life. So why did he weep? He wept because he's a compassion God. He's a God who is touched by you. Are you following what I'm saying? So we are a people of the word and we're a people of the Holy Ghost. Are you getting what I'm saying? So we must learn how to embrace the move of the Holy Ghost. Now, some people have a problem with this because of extremes, okay? Because of abuses. There are people who have abused certain things in the body of Christ. I give you examples. Some people have abused honor. Some people have abused giving. Some people have abused the supernatural. And just because there is an abuse doesn't mean there should be the absence. An abuse should not result to an absence of it. Are you following what I'm saying? There are people who have abused giving. Say, "Oh, tithing, is it in the New Testament? Is it in the Old Testament? Tithing, you know, some people will tell you, if you don't tithe, your life will be tight." Have you heard stuff like that before? "If you don't tithe, you are under the curse of God." Listen to me, you are not under any curse. In fact, you give because you are blessed. You know, or sometimes they will try to cajole you or make you feel like if you don't give, something is wrong with God's relationship and you. No, sometimes they try to blackmail you to give. You see, but you see, just because there is an extreme or an abuse of giving doesn't mean that you shouldn't follow the scripture. Because whether we like it or not, giving is of God. Generosity is of God. Okay? Giving in percentage is of God. Okay? Giving to the widows is of God. Giving to your man of God is of God. You know something I found out in the scripture? It is not this or that. It is this and that. So there are certain things that are true and other things are also acceptable. So you must not be skewed to one side. I'm coming for some people right now. Just follow me. I'm coming for you. Tell your neighbor, say, Pastor is coming for you. All right? So, because of the abuse of giving doesn't mean that you shouldn't give. We are people who understand giving because we know we give out of what he has given to us. Our giving is a reflection of what he gave us. He gave us what we could never give him. Let me rephrase. We gave him who we could never give him. Let me put it in a better way. He gave us who we could never give him. The Christ that he gave you is someone who bore your sins and took your sacrifices. That if you wanted to pay for your sins, you can't pay for your sins. So what God did for you was he gave you his son who will pay for your sins. And it has exempted you from eternal damnation. You know, people thank God for mundane things than thanking God for their salvation. But one of the best things to thank God for is your salvation. The fact that your sins are forgiven. The fact that you are one with Christ. The fact that you have eternal life. Am I talking to people right now? People have abused honor. They've abused honor. Right? Some people will make you feel like if you don't honor, you know, you are under a curse. You know, just because people have abused honoring men of God, you know, there was someone who asked me, said, Pastor, why do people serve people? Why do people serve men of God? Why would you see someone who just starts serving a pastor? Why? You know, we are in a generation that doesn't understand honor. That's the truth. But you see, the abuse of it should not be the absence of it. You can't use one extreme to correct another extreme. In fact, let me put it this way. You are more in danger when you are in the absence of it than someone who is in the abuse of it. Are you following what I'm saying? Because sometimes if you are in the absence or if you are in the abuse of something, you may be corrected as time goes on to be in the rightness of the thing. But when you shut down the thing just because of someone else's abuse, you cheat yourself of certain experiences and expressions of God. Am I talking to someone here? Now, if you heard of the man called Kenneth Hagin before, who knows Kenneth Hagin? Kenneth Hagin was one of the people who experienced the moves of the Spirit. In fact, Pastor Paul, Kenneth Hagin brought a dimension of the supernatural to the body of Christ that taught the body of Christ for ages after he's left. Yes, Kenneth Hagin. The granddaughter of Kenneth Hagin said, this was her confession during one of the legacy programs of Kenneth Hagin. She said that because of the, you know, let me explain Kenneth Hagin's meetings to you. In the meetings of Kenneth Hagin, you would see the move of the Spirit in different dimensions. As we gather to pray, sometimes they gather to laugh. They just start to laugh in the Holy Ghost. The first time I saw that was when I watched a tape when I was very young of Kenneth Hagin. And I saw how, you know, the congregation just started to laugh uncontrollably. That was a dimension of the move of the Holy Ghost. They started to laugh uncontrollably without stopping. And it was transferable. It moved from this person to this person. And this whole row starts to catch fire until the whole congregation begins to laugh with the Holy Ghost. I never saw that. The day I experienced it, I laughed for 1 hour with my friends. Two of my friends came to visit me sometime, I think it was 2015 or so. I'd never experienced this before. They came to visit me in the house, Pastor Sam and Andrew. And we talked for a brief moment and then they were leaving and I just walked outside to see them off. As they were about to enter their cars, we just started to laugh. And that's how laughs start. Laugh without words. We were standing with each other. We didn't say a word to each other. All we were doing was just laughing. We laughed for 1 hour. That was my first time. But that was a baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, and sometimes in the gathering of the local assembly, there is a move of the Spirit that will come in that dimension. Sometimes it is overwhelming joy. There is a joy that erupts in the building. You see, it's part of, it's knowing how to key into the move of the Holy Spirit. So Kenneth Hagin's granddaughter said, I'm tired of the excesses. You know, when someone grows up in something, you might take it for granted. Do you understand? See finish. Her father or her grandfather, she saw the move of the Holy Spirit. Plus, apart from the excesses, plus the abuse from other people. And you know what she said to herself? I'm going to shut down from this thing called the move of the Holy Spirit. I rather prefer a church that is quiet. I just want to be talked to the Word of God. But you see, all those demonstrations, those things falling under the anointing, those things, someone will just stand up and run like this. Or people will just open their voices and begin to shout as inspired by the Holy Spirit. Or people will begin to prophesy. Utterances are given in the gathering. And she said to herself, I don't think I want to do this. But she found out that certain things got missing in her life. You know, there is a way you do spiritual things, and when you stop it, you know something is missing. I'll give you an example. When you are a praying person and you stop praying, you can tell that something in your life is not the same again. And it's a call to go back to what you did before. You see, I tell myself, if as a pastor, there are certain things I used to do before, and right now I don't do again because I'm too big, because I'm a pastor, it means I need help. No man gets to the place where you think you have arrived. If you think you have arrived, that's where you begin to fall. So every day we are hungry for the things of God. You know, I taught you that on Wednesday. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. It says, fortunate are you that if you are not hungry for the things of God, something is wrong. Something is wrong. If you know, people miss church, I don't feel anything. Something is wrong. That's sickness. So she told herself, I'm going to repent. And she opened herself to the move of the Holy Ghost. And that's where things started to change. Now, some of you are like that. You know, you just feel, I'm going to experience God in this format. And this is where I am okay. But listen to me, TSP, there is more. Okay? There is more. And in this more, it will result into certain dimensions of God you've never experienced in your life. When you come before the presence of God, and for example, the pastor begins to speak utterance to people, and he says, open your mouth, church, and begin to receive the glory of God is here. The power of God is here. Healings are in this place. The promises of God are here. And then you see people just lifting up their hands to praise and to, Lord, I receive, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you because all that I have is mine. And they begin to burst out in tongues. And then you see somebody else who is standing this way, you know, not saying anything, not doing anything. Now, let me tell you what the problem with that is. Firstly, your posture is wrong because there is a body language that can stop you from receiving. Okay. Okay, there are many walls, but I will break them. There is a body language. There is a posture to receiving. You see, when the pastor is preaching and he tells you, for example, lift up your hands and receive. You know what that is signifying? It is signifying your surrender. So you surrender to receive. Some people don't know how to receive. Some people don't know how to receive when they come to church. You see them stand and all they're doing is just observing. What are these people doing? Let's go straight to the Word of God. I came for the Word. I didn't come here to waste my time. What is all this shouting for? What is all this dancing for? What is all this singing for? And you see them looking around. In fact, instead of worshiping or participating in what is going on in the church, you see them observing what is not fixed. You see how this black cloth is. You see this thing is not well arranged. You know, you bring your finicky self to church. Just look straight if you're the one I'm talking about. You see? But that's not how to receive. When you come to church, you throw yourself to God. Because he who comes to God must believe that God is. When you come before the presence of God, you are standing with him. He says, where two or three are gathered, I am there. I know you heard me teach you before that you don't come to meet the presence of God. You carry the presence of God. Do you remember that? But there is also another truth, that you come into some places and you meet the presence of God. Yeah, because I noticed that, you know, in the bid to emphasize certain things, I subconsciously de-emphasize some things. And that has not helped some of you. I subconsciously de-emphasize some things. And I'm not talking about those things, but just because I don't mention it, you don't think it's correct. There are some organized places that the power of God is moving. There are some places that are designed for your encounters. You don't hear what I'm saying. God said to the prophet, go to the widow of Zarephath, for I have prepared a place for you. I have prepared a place, a place, a place. Because there is a certain place. That's why, you see, online church is the alternative. It's not the recommendation. There are some things that cannot be caught if you are not there. Some things are taught, but many other things are caught. And the things that are caught are things that are there as a witness when you are there. These things are fulfilled in your hearing. Kenneth Hagin said something. He said, the move of God will be lost in a generation if it is not taught. Amen. He says that if we don't teach the move of the Spirit, a generation will come that does not understand the move of the Spirit. That's why I'm going to take time. I'm not teaching today. I'm just introducing. Because in the coming weeks, because when I say night of solution, some of you don't even know how to receive solution. Because you come to church and all you do is just like this. Pastor preaches to say amen. You no go say amen. To throw yourself into the things of God, you will not. Because you are observing what this person is wearing, what that person is wearing. You're observing the makeup of this person. You're observing the shoe of this person. Come on! When you come before this, he said, we have come unto Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to an innumerable company of angels. It goes on to say, to the spirits of just men made perfect. You come to church and you are moping. It's a wrong posture. It's a wrong posture. You know, but when you throw yourself, you must always, hear this, you must always be at the verge of jumping into the move of the Spirit. You must be someone who is quick to sense, are we about to enter? Or are we entering? Are we entering? Oh, we're entering. Oh, Kaleba Kayaba. That's you. And it is a training. It is a teaching. How does it look good? How does it look on a pastor or on you when, you know, you go to certain places and utterances are given, right? Utterances are given in that gathering. And you are a member of this church, God forbid. You are a member of this church and people are flowing in utterances and we are just there moping. Hiya. I was invited to Warri, my friend, before he was coronated, the Olu of Warri. He told me, he said, Pastor Phil, come, let's pray with some of the staff members, people who are going to work with me. So I went there and I started to pray. The moment I started, of course, they are not people I know. There were about six ladies, two guys. The moment I started to pray, I shared the word of God with them, and then I opened my mouth to pray. The moment I started to pray, oh my goodness, it did not take 20 seconds for these girls to pick utterances. I could tell that the energy was already charged. You know, when you come to a room and the room is ready, you will know the room is ready. Because the things of the Spirit, the move of the Spirit are things that must be seen. You can't say the move of the Spirit is what you discern. You don't only discern the move, you see the move of the Spirit. Are you following what I'm saying? You see the move of the Spirit. So we must open ourselves. You know, as I'm talking now, some of you, it's as if there is still zip and cage. You are still feeling that restriction. Then they shout for here. If people come to TSB for the first time and they are wondering whether we talk in this church or not, do you know that's not good reflection? You see, because the move of the Spirit, sometimes, of course, there are many expressions, but the move of the Spirit must be tangible. As I started to speak, did you know that in 10 seconds, I was prophesying to one The other one was confirming what I was saying. I will talk to this one. The other one is saying, Pastor Phil, see what you are saying. They will show me what they were writing. They were confirming with themselves the word. And I said to myself, this is a well-taught people. So someone holds the microphone, Audacity holds the microphone, Pastor Paul holds the microphone, or any of the pastors, and say, let us begin to bless God. They don't need to whine you. Do you understand what I'm saying? They don't need to whine you. Or, you know, some of you are like generator, Suzuki. They need to kickstart you. They need to jumpstart you. And even when you attempt to start, you will slow down again. But we are people of the Holy Ghost. We are people of the Holy Ghost. Paul, come and help me. We are people of the Holy Ghost. We understand the move of the Spirit. There are places in the scripture where you see, where the Bible says this person was filled with the Holy Ghost. Look at Elizabeth. The Bible says Elizabeth was full of the Holy Ghost when she heard the greeting of Mary. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, you greet someone, you just say, Dorcas, good morning. And the moment I shake Dorcas, good morning, she gets filled with the Holy Ghost. Zachariah was filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Hi. We understand the move of the Spirit. And this is a key to receiving. Oh, you don't hear what I'm saying. See, you can be well taught as a mature believer that you minister healing to sick people. And when you are sick, pastor calls for altar call. You refuse to come out because in your mind, you are above it. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. You know, you will never position yourself to say, I receive. You will never posture yourself to say, I want to learn how to receive the things of the Spirit. Are you getting what I'm saying? And you see, your maturity should not confuse that position of receiving. Because even Jesus, until the very end, he said, whatsoever I see my Father do, I also do. How mature have you gotten that even to receive in church, you can't receive? That is why first-timers and new converts are the ones who receive more than people who become entitled. Someone came and broke the alabaster box and poured it on Jesus, right? She poured it on Jesus. And somebody was saying, why are you honoring Jesus? Why are you honoring Jesus? Listen to me. Don't let anybody, it is not their business. Don't let anybody judge how you take the things of the Spirit. Can I say that again? Don't let anybody judge how you are hungry for the things of the Spirit. People have not finished dealing with their lives. They are coming to tell you how to deal with yours. Don't let anybody teach you and tell you this is how you should do with God. If you say you are hungry for God, you are hungry for God. It's nobody's business. And the earlier you receive it, the better for you. Because you must understand this aspect. So, TSP, listen to me. Apart from word, because I know Unasabi word. Unasabi word. You guys know the word. But you see what I want you to come into? I want you to step into power. The word of God did not come to you in word only, but it came in the demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God. You are sensitive to the move of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. See, two expressions. You see, it affects your posture and it opens your mouth. Whenever you come to church, you see, things that stop you from receiving is a bad posture and a closed mouth. Those are things that stop you from receiving. But when your mouth is open, because when your mouth is open, it is from the openness of your heart. It is coming from your heart. That's why you are speaking. It says in the Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14, that I have received the spirit of faith, and therefore I believe, therefore I speak. In the New Testament, the spirit of the New Testament is to talk. So you can't be quiet. You must be a talker. If you look at the gifts of the Spirit, some of those gifts are utterance gifts. They are gifts that require you talking. You must speak. Speaking in tongues, prophecy,
interpretation of tongues. They talk about your speaking. So you cannot come to church and to flow in the things of the Spirit. You are holding yourself back. You must let loose, okay? And then you must assume the right posture. If looking around is distracting you, close your eyes. Shut your eyes. And then you let your heart go, okay? Don't just be like that Christian who just observes and say, I'm waiting for the word. I'm waiting for the word. Yeah, yeah. All you have is information. Oga, information is not enough. Are you following what I'm saying? The move of the Spirit is important. So break your defenses. Break your defenses. I want people to come to church and say, why are these people weird? You know, if they don't say we are weird, it means we haven't taught something yet. Let me explain. When the Holy Ghost came upon the apostles, right? The Bible says that when they began to speak in tongues, people started to mock them and said, how can you be drunk at this moment of the day? And Peter now came explaining to the people, we're not drunk. So until people say you are drunk, sometimes the move of the Spirit has not taken over you. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine, wherein it is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. The right translation says, keep on being filled. So it is one time feeling, another time feeling. I'm filled today with the Holy Ghost. I am also filled tomorrow with the Holy Ghost. I'm filled on Tuesday with the Holy Ghost. I'm filled throughout the year with the Holy Ghost. The move of the Spirit, we must embrace it. We must receive it. We must learn how to receive. We must learn how to let ourselves go in the move of the Spirit. Come on, amen. We must learn how to say, God, I receive what you are doing. You must be sensitive. You know, I told you that this thing can be seen. And how do I know, Pastor Chibuzo? When they were about to pick seven people who are going to attend to tables, because the apostles said, we cannot give ourselves to tables, but we'll give ourselves to the ministry of the word and prayer. So he said, look amongst you, those who are filled with good report and of the Holy Ghost. Did you hear what I just said? He says, look amongst you, those who are full of honest report and the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 6, verse 3. So he says, those who are full of the Holy Ghost. But what is my emphasis? He says, look around you. Look around you. That means when you look amongst yourself, you should be able to tell someone who is full of the Holy Ghost. So, and when you are full of the Holy Ghost, most times it is a third party that will know. Yeah, because it's something that must be seen. It will come whether in an overwhelming joy. Sometimes you are not always shouting. Sometimes there is this peace that encompasses you. Sometimes there is this love that encompasses you. Sometimes there is this assurance of faith. You see, some of you come to church, and when the word of God comes, you just begin to feel joy in the Holy Ghost. That joy gets translated later into wisdom. So after you rejoice in church, you leave church and you then know what to do in that business. That is an overflow of being full of the Holy Ghost. For some people, it will be counsel. It will be counsel. For some people, joy will translate into healing. You have eyes for good things. All right? So when you come into church, you must be someone who says that I will I would move the atmosphere until my neighbor can be filled with the Holy Spirit, just because that neighbor is sitting with me. Come on, amen. Jesus was in the womb of Mary, and John the Baptist was in the womb of Elizabeth. As Mary said hello for 6 months in the womb of Elizabeth, a lot of theologians believe that John the Baptist was probably dead in the womb, because she didn't feel any kick all through the 6 months. And the moment Mary said hello, there was a leap. Medically speaking, the first time a woman gets that kick is around 16 weeks. If she's primigravida, first time. Maybe second time pregnancy, she might get it at 18 weeks. But for 6 months, no kick. And then someone says, hello. And there was a kick. You know, as you're sitting right now in this row, you can turn. I'm teaching you spiritual intelligence. Only Dorcas can turn the atmosphere by her posture and receptibility, that it affects this entire room. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. So you must understand that you are an atmosphere shifter. You are someone who redirects the space that you belong to. See, some of you will get filled with the Holy Ghost in your marketplace. Oh my God, you don't hear what I'm saying. Some of you will get filled in the Holy Ghost as you are driving, in the car, you know, in your bathroom. You know, one of our sisters came to me and said, Pastor Phil, as the message was on, I was just in tears yesterday. Service was done, I was still in tears. Another person came to meet me with the same thing. I said, you come to church, you feel something on you. You are full of the Holy Ghost. That's the power of God taking over you. You know what we're going to do right now? We're going to demonstrate certain things right now. As I spoke this morning, I'm done. As I spoke right now, some people got healed immediately. Some people, all of a sudden, depression left you. For some people, confusion left you. For some people, overwhelming joy. Unlimited joy. I've got to say that again. Unlimited joy filled your spirit. Unlimited peace filled your spirit. Who am I talking to right now? So you know what you're going to do right now? In a few minutes, open your mouth and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Because as you pray in the Holy Ghost, the power of God is coming upon you. Come on, open your mouth. Come on. Open your mouth, pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on, TSP. Lift your voices and pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living waters. Pray in the Holy Ghost. God is restoring homes right now. God is restoring houses right now. God is touching lives right now. God is touching people right now. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Bareboko shabaya. Zida bekako shakata. Zida brambakako shabipayata. Zida bakata. You know, as I was speaking, for some of you, your hearts began to burn. Your heart is burning. Some of you can feel fire in your body. Pray in the Holy Ghost, because out of you will flow the issues of life. I decree and declare, be filled with the Holy Ghost. I decree and declare, be baptized in the Holy Ghost. For those of you who don't pray in the Holy Ghost, open your mouth and you will receive the endowment of power. You will receive the manifestation of power. Open your mouth. Come on. Make sure your mouth is not closed. Open your mouth. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Zipayante. Fear is gone. Anxiety is gone. Yes. The horn breaker is here. For thou, O God, art a shield for me. You are my glory and the lifter of my head. Pray in the Holy Ghost. You are filled with the Holy Ghost right now. You are filled with the Holy Ghost right now. You are filled with the Holy Ghost right now. You are filled with the Holy Ghost right now. You are filled with the Holy Ghost right now. You are filled with the Holy Ghost right now. Edabakayato. Zipayata. Hold on. The Bible says that they were with one accord and the Holy Ghost fell upon them. There is an outpouring in this room right now. I don't know who you are, but who is ready to receive the outpouring? Throw your hands up high and say, I receive right now. Throw your hands up high, because God is correcting the deficiencies. You are taking what is yours. You are receiving what is yours. Nothing is going beyond you. Blessings are coming your way. Miracles are coming your way. The supernatural is coming your way. Breakthroughs are coming your way. Take it in the name of Jesus. Take it in the name of Jesus. Take it in the name of Jesus. Take it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Come on. Pray the Holy Ghost. Pray the Holy Ghost. Pray the Holy Ghost. Pray the Holy Ghost. Eda bayakate kolipra pekoya. Sede beketo. Zipa yakato kayipa. Ido pripekeko saka. Ziplem begeto. Japayande. Zupande kele. Sande begekoka. Zide prembegekousa. Bim prembegekebusa. Ida pe kaka. Sobayande kayanda gadada.
This concludes this message. Thank you for listening, and for more information about the Standpoint Church, visit our social media platform on www.facebook.com/standpointabj, twitter.com/standpointabj, instagram.com/standpointabj, and on soundcloud.com/standpointabj.